The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
The Bible commends the pursuit of wisdom. In fact, James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask of God who gives to all men liberally. James 1 verse 5. God wants us to seek the wisdom that only He can give. And so much of the Bible is devoted to helping us develop that great quality of wisdom, which in contrast to simply looking at knowledge, wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that we have appropriately in the various situations that we find ourselves in life. Now, there's lots of ways that God imparts wisdom to us. But, of course, one of the ways that He does that is by means of the Scriptures. When Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, he mentioned there that Timothy had learned from childhood the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And so there we see the role that the Scriptures play in helping to develop wisdom in the one who seeks it, but also the fact that wisdom is directly tied to salvation. Can I be saved without wisdom? Well, if the Scriptures make me wise unto salvation, then it seems that the answer to that question would be no, wouldn't it? And so we ought to be greatly interested in developing wisdom and gaining that wisdom that God provides for anyone who will come to Him seeking it. Now, as we said, the Scriptures are one of the means by which God imparts wisdom to those who are seeking it. And when we think about the role that the Scriptures play in imparting wisdom, I guess one of the first books of the Bible that would come to mind would be the book of Proverbs. When you think of wisdom, you just about have to think of Proverbs, because that is a book about wisdom. It is a book about pursuing wisdom and seeking wisdom and holding on to wisdom. Solomon, of course, is recognized as the wisest man of his time. He prayed and asked God for wisdom instead of many other things that he could have requested when God gave him that option as he entered into his reign as king over Israel of what he wanted God to provide for him. He wanted wisdom. Well, that was a very good request that he made. Now, he didn't always operate according to that wisdom that God had given him, but the book of Proverbs was the product of that great wisdom that God provided for him. And throughout that book, we see so much talked about there regarding wisdom. But now, as we think about wisdom and acquiring it, seeking it, and so on, one other thing that we need to keep in mind is that when we fail to pursue wisdom, to acquire wisdom, to hold on to wisdom, then we become fools. And you know, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say not only about being wise, but also about being fools. You see, it shows us about what we ought to do to be wise, but it also warns us against some things that we could do that would make us fools. Now, that's where I want us to focus our attention in our study today. What does the book of Proverbs have to say about being a fool? You see, if I can learn what that great book says about being a fool, then I can learn some things to stay away from in my life. I can learn to notice some tendencies, some traits that might be developing in my life. And if I begin to look at my life and I begin to see some of these things that are associated with being foolish there in the book of Proverbs, then I can begin to see the kinds of things that I need to correct in life, that I need to make sure that I take away and make sure that they do not have opportunity to grow and to continue in my life. So, what does the book of Proverbs have to say about the fool? First of all, in Proverbs we see that fools refuse instruction. Nobody is born a fool and nobody is born wise. Wisdom comes as a result of instruction. Foolishness comes when we reject instruction. It's important that we keep that in mind. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Notice there that fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's not just that they neglect it necessarily. It's not just that they may be unaware of it. They have an outright dislike for it. Now, whatever the source of this instruction may be, the fool will see no value in it. The fool will look at that instruction and think any number of things. Either maybe he doesn't have time for it, or maybe he thinks he's above that. Maybe he thinks he's learned everything he needs to learn. Maybe he thinks the source of that instruction is not trustworthy. Whatever the case may be, it is a foolish thing to look at a source of instruction and wisdom and despise it, to develop a dislike for that that would cause you to disregard what it says. Now, Proverbs goes on to talk in more detail about how fools despise instruction and talking about more specific kinds of instruction. For example, wisdom comes from the instruction from parents, we're taught in various places here in Proverbs, but fools reject that as well. Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." The fool despises his father's correction, his father's instruction. Now, we know that as we're growing up, our parents are a tremendous source of wisdom for us. The home provides a great training ground for children. And if children will simply avail themselves of the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that their parents have and can give to them, then as they grow, they can begin to develop a great deal of knowledge just by sitting at the feet of their parents. But too many times, children do not respect the wisdom of their parents. Now, I know it's the case that as you're growing up, and especially maybe as you reach your teenage years, you begin to reach that area where you don't really feel like a child anymore, but you're not really an adult either. But you're wanting to test more and more your own abilities and your own understanding and be responsible for yourself and so on. And it's often during that period in life when these young people begin to look at their parents and to develop an unhealthy attitude toward the instruction and the wisdom their parents are seeking to give to them. The wise person, though, the young person who is truly going to benefit and develop wisdom, is going to see the great blessing that his parents' instruction can be to his life. It's funny, we often say that when we're teenagers, our parents don't know anything, but the older we get, it's surprising how much more they learn through the years. Well, that's because with age and experience comes a deeper appreciation for what those who are already experienced and learned in the ways of the world have to offer to us. But you see, the fool never learns that lesson. The fool despises the instruction that comes from his parents. And in fact, regardless of who it is that's offering this instruction to him, the fool is going to have the same sort of attitude toward it. He doesn't want to be instructed. He doesn't think he needs it. Proverbs 23, verse 9 then tells us, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." All that's simply saying is, you're wasting your time if you're trying to give instruction to a fool. He doesn't want to hear it. He's not going to benefit from it. You know, Jesus made a statement one time that's based upon that principle when he told us, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." Sometimes we're just wasting our time by trying to deal with people who are fools and do not want any instruction. They don't want any help. They don't think they need it. But that very attitude displays the foolishness that has probably gotten them into the problems that they find themselves in when they're needing this kind of instruction. You see, Proverbs tells us that fools just do not have the heart to acquire wisdom. In Proverbs 17, verse 16, here the wise man said, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? Now, notice that even the fool may possess the purchase price for wisdom. That is, he may have what he needs to become wise. But it doesn't matter. He has no heart to acquire wisdom, and therefore the price that he has available to pay, that is, an ability to learn, an ability to listen, the ability to open your mind and your heart to the instruction of those who are wiser than you, whatever that source may be, and to receive it meekly and gently, that's never going to be taken advantage of. And so, what good does it do? Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding but in expressing his own heart. See, that's often the case, isn't it? The fool despises and refuses instruction because he's too busy trying to tell you what he already knows. Now, as we think about these qualities and these traits and we begin to examine ourselves, let's look for signs of those things. Am I the kind of person who thinks I already have all the information I need? Well, I'd better be careful about that, because I am acting like a fool if I turn a deaf ear to any source of instruction and wisdom and correction that there may be available to me in my life. Fools despise instruction. Another thing the book of Proverbs tells us is that fools seek their own way. And this is the natural outgrowth of what we've just been talking about. When the fool despises instruction, it's often because he thinks his way is best. But, of course, that's a dangerous way to go. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The way of a fool is wise in his own eyes. He thinks he knows best. He doesn't need instruction from anyone else. In Proverbs 26 and verse 12, there's another passage along this same line. It says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. And so that too is a very dangerous position for us to take. You see, whenever a person begins to think that his way is best, that his way is right, what he's really doing is just opening the door for himself in his life to all kinds of problems, especially to moral problems. You see, we cannot rely on self. We cannot be so puffed up with pride in our thinking about our understanding, our wisdom, our intelligence, and so on, that we think we can figure it all out without any help. That only leads to more problems in life. Proverbs 10, verse 23 says, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. See, when you think that doing evil is fun, that's how you get your enjoyment in life, then you're acting like a fool. You see, you think you know best. You think your way is right. You think your wisdom is superior to anything God has to offer. And thus, the way of a fool is to open this door for corruption into his life. Proverbs 14, verse 9 says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there's favor. Fools mock at sin. His way is best. And so all of these things really come from that idea of knowing, or rather thinking, that my way is better than God's way. Nobody can instruct me. I'm despising wisdom. I'm despising instruction. And then that just opens that door for me to be deceived by sin, to be deceived by my pride, to be deceived by all of these things. Proverbs 14, verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. As soon as I begin to rely on self, and to think that my way is best, and I don't need any help or instruction from anybody else, I've just opened the door for my own deception. Over in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul talked about some who were in a very interesting situation, interesting the way he words it, because he talks about how that God sent them a strong delusion. And a lot of people misunderstand that passage, and they don't understand what it means. Did God intentionally lie to these people to deceive them? Well, that's not what Paul is describing. These people did not have a love for the truth. They're just like the fool we've been talking about. They despised instruction. They thought their way was best. And thus, rejecting the truth, the only thing left for them to believe was a lie. And God let them believe a lie. God will let us believe whatever we want to believe. He'll hold us accountable for it, but He allows us to make our choices. He allows us to believe what we want to believe. And if we are so stubborn, if we are so lifted up with pride and so foolish as to think our wisdom and our understanding is better than that that God provides, then we've turned a deaf ear to everything that God has given. And the only thing that's left is something that's just not true. And thus, this kind of foolishness opens the door for deceit. Now, because of all of these things, we see a third thing regarding the fool, and that is, a fool is known by his lips. There's a proverb, I don't recall now who it was that was supposed to have said it, but it goes something like this: it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, that really is a true principle. And it's one the Bible sort of addresses, too. It's not far off from some of these things the book of Proverbs says. For example, in Proverbs 13 and verse 16, it says, "Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly." He lays it open. He just sets it out there for everybody to see. Now, I'm going to tell you all that I know, the foolish man says. I'm going to show you how smart I am, how wise I am, when really what he's doing is just making it more and more clear how foolish he is. Proverbs 18, verse 2. "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." See, it doesn't take long to figure out when you're talking to a fool, because more often than not, the fool is interested in telling you just how wise he is. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He doesn't realize. He's the one who's the fool. And he's demonstrating it more and more with every word he says. How sad. There's a lot of wisdom in knowing when not to talk. A lot of understanding involved in that, isn't there? But too often, the fool just wants to tell everybody everything he knows. In Proverbs 18 and verse 13, it says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." You see, the fool, in his desire for everybody to think he's a wise man, is going to be the first one to speak up. Somebody tells him about a situation, "Well, I'll tell you how I'd fix that. I'll tell you the solution to that. Here's how you handle that situation." He hasn't heard all the details. He hasn't heard both sides of the story. But he's ready to jump in with both feet and fix it and tell everybody how they ought to act and what they ought to think. He's only demonstrating his foolishness in a situation like that rather than showing himself to be some kind of wise man. Foolish people are quick to speak instead of being quick to listen. In Proverbs 29, verse 11, it says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Here again, there is often great wisdom displayed in restraint. Do you feel something? Do you think something? It's not always best just to blurt it out. Stay quiet. Don't always be the first one to have to say something. You don't always even have to say anything at all. The fool doesn't understand that. The fool is quickly identified by his lips. It's good for us to know when to speak and when not to speak. Proverbs 17, verse 28, I believe it is, we see there that principle. Notice what it says. "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lip, he's considered perceptive." He may be a fool, but if he happens not to say anything in certain circumstances, people might even think he's wise. You see, the fool is often known by his lips. Another thing that we learn about fools in the book of Proverbs is that fools do not control their wrath. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong with getting angry. Ephesians 4:26 tells us, "Be angry and do not sin." Jesus was angry on occasion. We know He was angry when He drove the money changers out of the temple. He certainly did not sin. We get angry. That's often an almost unavoidable reaction to certain circumstances in life. There's not necessarily anything wrong with being angry, but the sin comes into play with how we handle that anger. Do we fly off the handle? Do we act without self-control and restraint? If so, then there is sin in anger under those conditions. Now, the fool shows himself to be a fool when he displays no self-control. Self-control is a difficult thing to learn, but it does take great wisdom to develop and to exercise. Easiest thing in the world is just to tell somebody what you think, to let your emotions control your actions. But that's not the way of wisdom. For us to be wise, we have to learn how to develop and exercise self-control. So listen to what some of the wise sayings here tell us along these lines. In Proverbs 12, verse 16, we see the connection here between self-control, self-restraint, and wisdom. It says, "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers his shame." A fool's wrath is known at once. Now, the wise man, the prudent man, is able to know when it's best to stay in control. Well, of course, it's always best to stay in control, but he knows how to do that. And he understands the great benefit that there is in remaining in control of himself. The fool does not. The fool is the one quick to speak and quick to react. Proverbs 20, verse 3, another passage that speaks to this principle says, "It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." Now think about that. Any fool can start a quarrel. It doesn't take much to start a fight, does it? You know how to make somebody angry. You know how to say something that will set somebody off. It's easy to get yourself into situations like that, but it takes great wisdom to know how to resolve a situation like that. The fool, though, is not interested in that. The fool is only interested in just venting his feelings, as we read a little while ago, in showing himself to be something when really he's not, in voicing his own ideas, you see, operating without this self-control. That's the way of foolishness. The fool is one who demonstrates a lack of self-control. Now, this lack of self-control is connected to various things. Over in Proverbs chapter 14, there's about three verses here that I want us to notice where we see this lack of self-control tied to different things. Starting in verse 15, it says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." The simple, the foolish one, the one without wisdom and understanding. He believes everything. Now, some people operate without self-control because they're just gullible. They'll believe anything you tell them, and because they'll believe anything that you tell them, they're likely to do just about anything. How foolish it is to live a life where we are taken advantage of so easily, deceived so easily, gullible. Well, there are lots of people like that. We don't have to be. We can educate ourselves and we can learn from the instruction of wiser people and, of course, from God's Word and so on and prevent those kinds of things from happening. But the fool operates without proper self-restraint many times because he's rejected those things. And sometimes he becomes a gullible person, willing to believe anything you tell him. Proverbs 14:16, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." Now, there's nothing wrong with having self-confidence. A proper self-confidence is based on a right relationship with the Lord. Paul, for example, said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He was a self-confident man, but really his confidence was not based in himself, but in the Lord. The fool, though, is overconfident. He thinks he can do anything. He thinks he's up to any challenge. And because of that, he's likely to run headlong into any situation without any restraint, without any self-control. often he finds himself in great trouble as a result of that. A third thing seen in verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Quick-tempered. How many people have you known of who were quick-tempered? It doesn't take much to make them angry. It doesn't take much to set them off. You know, I've talked to some people who seem to be proud of that characteristic. Well, that's not something to be proud of. It's not proud, not a good thing for you to have a short fuse and just to allow anything to light that fuse. That's the way the foolish person, and in his quick-tempered ways, he rages and gets himself into difficult situations. Now, these are the kinds of things the Bible teaches us about foolishness, about being fools. And as we think about those things, let's look at our lives. And as I look at my life, I want to look at those things and think about those things and ask myself, am I a person who despises instruction? Am I the person who thinks that my way is best? I have it figured out. I have all the answers. If I am that type of person, then the Bible calls me a fool. How sad that is. I want to continue in that way. I want to open my mind to the instruction and the assistance that God provides for me to become wise. I don't want to be a fool. And these other things that we talked about, how that if I'm a fool, then reproof and rebuke, those things are meaningless to me. They have no effect on me. I'm without self-control and in no control of what I say. These are the ways of a fool. Well, let's not be a fool. Let's be wise. Let's seek the instruction of God. Let's develop a deep respect and reverence for the ways of God and go to His Word. Go to those who are faithful to Him and seek the kind of wisdom that they can help us to acquire. That kind of wisdom will lead to our salvation. Foolishness will lead to our condemnation. We're going to be judged one day for what we've done with what God has provided to us. And as we stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, I hope none of us will stand before Him having lived our lives as a fool. Let's be wise.